Measuring performance through use of balance scorecard. Very famous tool, balance scorecard, BSC, we call it. Balance scorecard is a tool created by two gentlemen. One of them is Norton. And this balance scorecard is measuring your performance from the behavioral part and also from the measurable part, both put together. There are four parameters. I am not getting into the details of it. It's already covered in some other subject, right? Is the company viewed as a great place to work? Does a person feel that this is a lovely place to work? Like I, if you ask me, I'm a visiting faculty with V School, but I consider this to be a great place to work. That's my attitude towards V School. Is HR viewed as providing effective support system to employees and HR plans, programs competitive? Do you think that the HR department is a supportive department or is it disruptive? What is the attitude? Is HR service delivery cost effective? Whatever HR is giving as a delivery, its functions which is doing, is it worth it in terms of the amount of money they are spending? Every department goes through cost, isn't it? The cost, effort, and finally we get an output. The output has got a value that is called as pricing, right? Cost is related to pricing through whatever they're doing. So is the HR doing too much of a cost they're incurring and giving less output in terms of profits? That is again to be understood. Balance scorecard does it in its own way, right? What is the return on investment on people? People, when you spend money on people, it is not expenditure. It's not a cost. It's not a waste. Whenever I'm spending some money on you for a developmental workshop, I tell this to my employee, to my team. Whenever we are spending money, somebody is paying some money to me to get themselves trained. And some of them say it's very expensive. And I tell them, look, this is not a cost. This is an investment. Investments, returns do not come immediately. They come over a period of time. So just by spending a few thousand rupees, if you're getting something in return, don't look at only the few thousand rupees and look at it intrinsically. Look at it from the larger picture. So what is the return on investment on people? ROI, we call it ROI. Is technology used to improve HR efficiency? Are we using some online methods and stuff like that? Now, this is a typical technology we are using for you, right? How does HR help to meet strategic objectives and customer needs? Is HR a strategic partner in the main strategies of the organization? Is the HR department enabling the company to create its profits by its own work? Is it having proper recruitment selection processes? Is it having proper training and development processes? Does it perform the performance appraisals properly? All these are a part of the HR thing. If they do it properly, in line with what the company wants as a top line, bottom line, sales and profits, then this is a good HR department. This is covered in HR in balance scorecard, right? Is the company investing in developing HR capabilities? Is he investing in developing people, creating competencies, right? Now, there's a rating methods in performance appraisal. These are again a part of HR, which I've already covered in HR subject. Okay, you can go and see that that particular video. The rank order method, the paired comparison system, the force distribution method, the critical incident method, the behaviorally anchored scale method, and the field review. I'll cover a few of them, not all. Okay, since it's a repetition. Because the purpose of this particular video shoot is to focus on performance management system, not on HR. So I'll spend more time there, right? Now, I'll take one or two of these. One of them is the critical incident method. I appraise you by a certain critical incident that happened when you were working. Positive thing, you made huge profits for the company by doing some important action, which nobody did. Or negative, you did something because of which our profits got wiped out. These are critical incidents. Critical incidents are those which have a major significant impact on the company. Now, I point out the critical incident. Based on that, I appraise you. Now, don't be under the mistaken impression that a critical incident which is positive will be positively appraised all the time. Similarly, a critical incident which is negative will be appraised negatively. That means you'll be getting into trouble. No, need not be. If the company culture looks at both these critical incidents, plus and minus, from an objective point of view, with respect to the company's goals, then it will assess it accordingly. For example, surprising it may seem to you, you must have done a critical incident of getting super profits by an action of yours. But that may not be what the company wants in terms of its goals and objectives and vision. So it may not be seen positively during appraisal. On the other hand, you must have done something which brought about something very negative. It is quite likely that your action is a learning experience, and the company would say that it is good thing that we did not get business in this, because this would have gone into our ruin. It would have upset our vision and mission charts in terms of our whatever we believe in. So I'm giving you this perspective because people have to know that critical incidents, since you're a super performer, you need not be rewarded all the time. Since you haven't performed, you have been very pathetic, it doesn't mean you need to be punished all the time. In a good management and a good culture. Right? There is another one called the behaviorally anchored rating scale method. BARS we call BARS, BARS. In a certain function, a certain behavior is expected. For example, if you're handling, you're a banker. You're a personal banker sitting in the counter, right? So a certain type of behavior is expected from you. Now those are put in a standardized form. Smile, say hello or good morning, good evening to the customer who comes in. Okay. Ask him or her what they want. Help them out. Enable it. If it's not your function, send them to the proper person. Certain behaviors are expected. Now, against the behaviors expected, whatever behaviors you're displaying, they are compared. That's a BARS scale. B-A-R-S. Behaviorally anchored rating scale method. This is a form of an appraisal. Field review, as the name suggests, in the field, especially for salesmen, they are going on the field. So the field feedback comes to them from the customers, from the different people with whom they are dealing. Okay. And on the job, how they perform, we see that. A production engineer or a worker who is working on a machine, we see how he's working on the field, on the machine. From there's a feedback taken. Right? Result-based appraisal system. Result-based appraisal system. That means the appraisal system it should be such that I give you feedback which is going to produce results in the future. Not just a feedback. And again, the same stupid results keep coming. Better results. Right? Benefits to the organization. What are the benefits? It produces improved short and long-term planning. I don't have to explain this. It's very easy. Achieves measurable results by all employees. Encourage more effective performance. Increase commitment to the organization. Both appraiser and appraisee accept approach as fair. And highly defensible means we can defend both the sides and saying that look, this is based on actual measurements, nothing subjective. Limitation kya hai? What are the limitations on the other side? Excessive result oriented. Results are given more value rather than the efforts, like I told you earlier. Inflexible, rigid. Neither easy to create nor easy to use. May not provide enough personal incentives to improve performance. May not fit all aspects of job. So there's a flip side of it. The positive side is this, the flip side is this, right? Characteristics of an appraisal interview. An appraisal interview is an interaction between the interviewer, appraisal interviewer, appraiser and the appraisee. Now, what should be the method? What should be the characteristics of this the interaction between you and me, right? Address relevant performance. Only what is relevant to address. The appraiser should know what to not touch upon and what to touch upon. Nothing unnecessary. Talk about what is necessary and be with that. Make a checklist and do it according to that. Right? Achievements, needs and interests. Provide feedback immediately. Immediate feedback is important. Not delayed. Provide suggestions to improvement to the person himself. Respect the integrity of the person to be maintained while giving feedback. Don't get personal. Remember one thing. Performance appraisal is not about the person. It's about what he has done. So what he has done has to be done. There's a languaging for that. Instead of saying, you did this, this could have been done. Language, reframing the language. Very respectful and maintain your integrity as a person who's appraising the person, not the person, but the behavior. Right? It should be tailored to meet the individual's specific needs and circumstances. Realistic and based on established measurements of standards. Self-explanatory. What are the strategies to improve my performance? What are the long-term things I need to do to improve my performance? What should I think about in terms of future planning? Positive reinforcement system, good behavior and results appreciated. Develop good behaviors in the company that will produce good results. Positive discipline programs, best attendance rewards. So reward system, you know, when somebody achieves something, it happens in many service sector companies, they give them immediate rewards. employee assistance program. Employees need some assistance. It could be, it need not be work oriented. It can be something else. So are you assisting employees? Have programs in which employees are given some assistance for doing something where they are a little bit stuck up, right? Enabling. Employee counseling for drug addiction, marital counseling, aggressive child and any psychological psychiatric problem. There are counseling departments in many companies. There is a clinical counselor who comes and sits there, and he or she will be in a position to give them some sort of advice about how to go about balancing their work and life, you know, see that they don't go into burnout or into alcoholism or drug abuse or whatever, right? Performance improvement initiative. What do you do? Observe personal habits of people. Very simple. Evaluate whether employee has the right mental attitude. Helpful and cooperation with the co-workers. Is he an enabling person with people, or is he very aloof and very, you know, the fighting type of person? Okay. Efficiency and productivity levels. Ability to take initiative. Review personal presentation. How does he present himself? Does he come well-dressed? Does he look very sloppy? His language patterns, are they proper or are they very haywire? Are they in line with the company's requirements? Conduct a client survey. Perform random checks. What are the benefits of performance appraisal? The benefits are, it offers time out for supervisor to have one-on-one discussion with subordinate. Self-explanatory, right? Increases employee motivation. Provides employees with recognition for work efforts. It has a positive influence on commitment and belonging. It's very important. I am committed to my job. I have a sense of belonging. And when you have an appraisal, I feel nice about it because there is somebody has given me a feedback and made me feel good about what I've done. And they've given me a future direction. Helps in training and development, provide regular and effective training needs. It monitors success of recruitment and induction. It monitors the success of recruitment and induction. What does it mean? Performance appraisal is done with a person who's already working. He has entered the company through the recruitment selection department. If the performance appraisal is good, time after time, the system itself is good. It also speaks of how well we have taken into consideration what the company requires. And at the time of recruitment selection, we have brought in the right recruit, not the wrong recruit. It speaks about that, right? Key challenges and problems in the performance appraisal process. Halo effect. Again, this is all a repetition of the HR. So I'm taking one or two, not all. Okay. Horn effect and halo effect, both are opposites. Halo effect means one part of a person is like a halo. You know, halo, we have this sacred ring around a very spiritual person, like a god or some, you know, guru or somebody. There's a halo. That means that person, wow, we say that. So there are certain employees who are super performers, or they do something which is phenomenally different from others. So people, you know, they get attached to that and say, he's good. They ignore all the other faults. In sales, typically I've seen, in FMCGs, a person is performing very well in the field. He produces humongous results, but his behavior is so bad, he's not a man of integrity. He does all shortcuts, he does things illegally, and he gets business. Now the halo effect can be, he's getting business, so keep on promoting him. Such a person will bring down the company. Halo effect. The horn effect is just the opposite. The person has got something negative, and we keep on pinning him down on the negative, we don't promote him. Again, single point. Halo is single point. Horn is also single point. We take only one point and we blow it out of proportion. This is a human error. Appraiser should guard himself against this. Then something like a varying standard. When I'm trying to appraise someone, I'm using different standards of appraising A, B and C. I don't have any standard thing. This is a very dangerous thing to happen. Varying standard means you're being subjective, not objective. Right? I'll take one from this spillover effect. Spillover effect means last time, this is what you did. So that same thing I'm remembering and I'm putting it in today's appraisal. I have certain experiences with you. You haven't performed or you've done something. And I take this and I start doing this. You have done very well in the past. So this year also, I'm assuming you'll do well because of this. Need not be. So spillover effect is coming because, you know, you have you anchor onto the history, not to the present. Right? And personal bias is very common. We are human beings. Everybody is biased for or against some people. There are some people whom I like, some people I don't like. If a person whom I don't like comes to me, even if he's done a good job, my personal bias will come in the way of my appraisal. I may not give a fair and square appraisal. Instead of being objective, I may be subjective. I'll write some negative remark about him just because I don't like him. And this happens so subtly, so dangerously, that a good employee may feel demotivated. Right? Key steps in performance interview: set the stage, assess the employee. The manager has to also assess properly. The employee reaction, resolving differences, ending the session. Simple, I'm not going into details. Specific factors to be assessed with direct supervisory responsibility. What are the specific factors? Who is the direct supervisory responsibility? The person who's reporting to him. If you are X and I am Y, you're reporting to me, then it's my responsibility to do this. Coaching, effective communication, encouraging teamwork, establishing high standards and getting results, effective delegation, rewarding performance and developing employees. Okay. Performance review meeting. Be prepared. Come with your papers proper, all the data properly, information. Create the right atmosphere. Sit in a proper room, not in a noisy place. It should be very calm so that the focus is maintained. Right? Work to a clear structure. Use praise. I won't totally agree to this. You have to praise when it is required. Unnecessarily, don't keep on praising things which are not praiseworthy. Use praise. Use also, be objective. Give a realistic feedback. Right? Let individuals do most of the talking. Let the appraisee, if you are X and I am Y, let X do more of talking. Right? Invite self-assessment. Ask that person, what do you think about this performance? What is your assessment about what you did? I do this very often. In my training programs and also in my, if I sit in an interview panel, I tell people, come on, can you assess yourself? And when somebody puts himself in an assessment, we come to know where, how his self-esteem is operating. Does he consider himself too high when he is not so? Does he consider himself too low when he is actually good? This gives you some idea about how he considers himself. Self-assessment is amazing if you know where you're going. Self-assessment, if you do, you can go and show it to somebody and ask that person, look, this is what I assess about me. Can you tell me, is it okay or not? And that person will give you some realistic assessment. Self-assessment plus the other person's assessment will be excellent combination to know how you're heading, where you're heading. Important, right? Discuss performance, not personality. Very, very important. Very, very, very important. Has the work been done? How you did it? Where you did it? Okay. But getting personal. If a glass of water is spilled on the floor, who spilled it? Personality. How come the water has got spilled in the room? Simple. So address the issue, not the personality. In conflict management, we always say this, right? Encourage analysis of performance. Don't deliver unexpected criticism. Unnecessary criticize, mat karo. Don't do it. Okay. Feedback, honest, specific, meaningful, accurate, instantly followed in writing. Agree measurable objectives and plan of action. Right? Ethics of appraisal. Ethics. Walking my talk. How well I deal with you. Am I a person who is saying something and doing something else? Am I a man who loses integrity? Is there a very humane, H-U-M-A-N-E, is there a human way of dealing with my appraisee? It's very, very important. All this comes in. Don't appraise without knowing the appraisal, why the appraisal is required. The why is important. Underline why. Just appraisal being told to you be done. You take the appraisal sheet sent there and just appraise anything. No. It's not just a routine thing. Why am I appraising? What am I appraising? Whom am I appraising? What's the end purpose? Now that is where the ethics comes into picture. That means I want to be very clear in what I do. I must do a good job. That's very important for me. Right? Appraise on the basis of representative, relevant and sufficient information. See that you get information properly. Appraise within the information gamut, not outside that. Somebody must have told you something about that person you're appraising. Now don't tag that something if it's not documented. Whatever is documented, cover your appraisal within the documentation data. Be honest in your assessment of all the facts you obtain. Do write one thing and say, don't write one thing and say another. That is what is called lack of integrity. Walking the talk. What I say, I do and I think. What I don't say, I don't do. What I say and I don't do, and what I say and don't do, that is not integrity. Right? Pass appraisal information only to those who have good reason to know it. Don't pass on the appraisal information to any Tom, Dick and Harry, only for the person who needs it for a purpose, not just purposeless. Okay? Don't accept another's appraisal without knowing the basis on which it was made. Just as you don't pass appraisal to some Tom, Dick and Harry, you don't take appraisal from somebody else without any basis. Fortune 100 companies in US, we have the Fortune 100 companies which are all listed down on the best companies to work with, you know, in all, overall parameters. How they use appraisal data, there's a few points given here. Improve work performance, advising work expectations, motivating and counseling. All that we have discussed is they do. The best practices. They administer merit pay. A person is merit, he's got a merit, he does something very good. He deserves it, so I pay him. That is administering the merit pay. So they look for people who are having merit, who have done something extremely good for the company, and they stretch themselves. Those are rewarded. They are never denied. This is what the Fortune 100 companies are. In fact, good companies look at this, not at the person. Right? Make promotion and transfer, layoffs and termination decisions. You have to be consciously make these decisions in the form of a strategy, in the form of a policy. They do that. Right? Here I'd like to add, some of them have got this beautiful thing called the exit interview. When you quit the company, they make you sit for an exit interview to give them a feedback about what could be improved upon, why you're leaving the company. They get a feedback so that they don't make the mistakes which they did earlier. And it is genuinely taken as a feedback, not just a ritual. Assessing employee potential, identifying training needs. These are the things which these companies are known to do. Better work relationship, helping employees set career goals, assigning work more efficiently, assisting in long-range planning, validating hiring procedures, justifying other managerial actions. Okay? Factors that require consideration while dealing with non-performers. GE case study, General Electric, the massive mammoth company in US, right? Terminations are always difficult even when they are clearly necessary. These points are worth remembering. So they are following certain policies, certain methods, certain processes, which we are enlisting here. Factors that require consideration while dealing with non-performers. A person is not performing, despite giving all the inputs, despite giving all the coaching, etc. How do I give a feedback to that person? So GE is following some methods. We are only running through that. Terminations are always difficult even when they are clearly necessary. These points are worth remembering. You have to terminate the person, but how you terminate, how well you do it without getting into the emotional part of it very nicely is something which they design very well. Termination may be especially traumatic for the junior employees because it could be their first experience of losing a job. Some freshers, they make major mistakes and they have to be asked to leave the job. The career may be completely destroyed. You know, the first experience in a new job, fresh out of the university, and things have gone wrong, that may be traumatic for the person. So dealing with them requires a certain amount of emotional intelligence in a proper way. Right? Mid-level employees might be qualified for lateral transfers. A non-performer in one department may be performing better in another department because the skills are there, not here. They use it. Termination of senior executive affect the whole organization. If a person at a very senior level leaves a company, all of you know, we start talking about a company. Is the company good for investment? Can I buy shares of this company? So the company is put into a big question mark, right? So all these are taken into consideration in GE and many such companies. When senior people are terminated, other employees want to know how they will be affected. And severance pay means when a person is getting terminated, they give them a lump sum money to make him feel good. It is assumed that by when I give you a lot of money for the grief you're going through, the grief is overtaken. Not true. A lot of money is given temporarily, you'll feel nice that I've got a lot of money, but the grief remains. Your self-esteem gets bruised. You feel low about yourself. On that, some companies also give them counseling. They make them feel good that this is not the end of the game. See, I've seen many people who did not click in a certain company X. Good brand. They didn't click there. They felt very much let down. Some of them come to me for counseling. They felt very let down, middle management people. But these very people, they understood who they are and what they could do by certain type of, you know, interventions. And then they went and joined another company and they rose to become the CEO. So your company doesn't decide who you are. Maybe the functions you do in that company did not suit them. Your attitude, your personality, your way of looking at the whole work maybe must have been so different. It was totally not in line with the company. So you were asked to go. This is how I would look at it. No person on this planet Earth is not useful. Everybody is useful. Everybody has got a utility. Many people take this so emotionally. I've seen suicides happening because company, somebody has terminated that person. Very, very tragic. Now, don't hold your emotions so strong that if the appraisal of yours coming negative or something, and in the extreme case, if they ask you to go, you feel devastated. Yeah, you have to be worried about it, but not so much. I would always say that learn to keep a balanced view, saying that I need a work and I also have a personal life. People who do this, normally they work in a balanced way in the office. So when you do that, these things will not come in. You will not be a non-performer. Non-performance is actually a type of emotional issue. That person doesn't perform because of emotional reasons, not because he doesn't want to perform. There may be something majorly affecting his life, perhaps. In my experience with people around with whom I met, this exactly is the issue. I know a youngster was coming from one of the best B schools, one of the top 7 B schools in India, with 6 years of experience in the field of HR, mind you. He did not click in a certain company. He did not click in a certain company. And he came running to me crying. Very good, brilliant boy. Everything is good about him. But then when we sat with each other, we had a talk. I was asking questions, he was answering. I came to know that his competencies and skills are in a different direction. Now he has joined a consulting firm, a very reputed consulting firm. He's doing very well. So, your failure, inverted commas, in one company doesn't mean you are a failure. The function failed. So, you go to another company, you'll succeed there. Again, you're not succeeding, your functions are succeeding. So, taking things personally, one should learn how to take the work different from the person. You should learn it for yourself first. Then only you'll be seeing about others. Okay? So the severance pay should always be commensurate with the individual's year of service. The number of years of service you put in, that much you must be getting paid proportionately. That's what it means. Okay? Use of technology in performance appraisal. Today we are using performance appraisal. We are using technology everywhere. We know about HRIS, Human Resources Information System. You learned it you have it as a specialization subject, right? Where everything, recruitment, everything is all the manpower in the company is put in the net. So you can just access anybody's personal data easily in the office. So use of surveillance system, tracking employees, what he is doing online, on highway or all over the office. Every employee is given a certain computer, is given a number, and there is somebody tracking you all the time. Now you may like it or not like it, this is being done. There's a positive reason why it is being done, so that you don't work against the interest of the company. You don't have activities which are against the interest of the company. That's the reason the surveillance is done. Positive reason. Negative is what? It invades into your private life. It's like your whole life is bare open. But they're doing it. Use of small wearable computer devices like your smartwatch. Okay. Track the movement of the hourly workers in retail and hospitality industries. Social interaction data to understand impact on productivity. All these things is being done. They are using technology, right? Whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not, technology has come into this area of monitoring you, right? Use of business microscope measures which workers talk to, who workers talk to and how they talk, energy levels and how they often hand gestures, etc. All this is coming today in the area called big data. You know, we are doing personal profiling. This is a very common thing today. With the with everything getting digital, this is very common now, profiling people, right? And profiling their movements, etc. So Hitachi apparently is using this. Use of social media for rating employees and eBay. You are interactive on the Facebook and the Twitter and also in WhatsApp. So you are being monitored. No data is private anymore. Everything is monitored. So your habits of, you know, posting articles, posting pictures, posting clippings, etc. is observed by people. So they know that this person's profile is so and so. Based on that, they form their own profile about you. It's not always correct, but they get an idea about who you are. Use a personality test like CanGrade, Cambridge, Massachusetts. They do this. They use personality tests to know who you are. Again, technological thing, right? Online. Features of round-the-clock performance review. In PMS, Performance Management System, we have a round-the-clock review. Not round-the-clock as in 24 hours per day, but it's more frequent. Performance appraisal happens once a year or twice a year. But performance management system, we are doing it round the clock there are some many parameters that are being measured or being observed and calibrated. Real-time feedback you get, high level of employee engagement, all this is repetition, I'm running through it, ability to carry out course corrections, continual improvement, qualitative and quantitative measurement of the performance, variability in the rewards to meet the dynamic organization tactics. Okay. Now this needs little explaining. What is variability? It's not constant. I give variable type of rewards. Why? Because when the organization is going through a change, dynamic. So the organization right now is trying to launch a product. They'll say, whoever launches the product in 10 days, I'll give so much of money. Now the product is already launched. Now they say, whoever is penetrating this market will give them more money. So depending upon the tactics of the company, the rewards will be variable. Initially, the rewards may be more, then it will be less, etc. So the rewards are linked to the tactics of the organization, in short. Right? Rewards aligned with the real business environment. What are the modern ways of appraising? The companies like Deloitte, the consulting company Accenture, the IT major Cisco, okay, always on appraisal system, what is ongoing in real time. Infosys, continuous feedback culminating into annual ratings, helps to identify best performance. Attero, weekly evaluation of employee performance every week. Autoportal India, continuous evaluation helps in spotting and nurture future leaders by identifying relevant qualifications and behavioral and technical competencies. A few companies' practices are given here at the time of writing the book. While I'm talking to you, newer things have happened in the same companies, right? Key aspects of continuous performance evaluation, constant communication, continuous feedback and open conversation, accountability, training, managers will need coaching for new systems of continuous evaluation, acceptability from bell curve to new system. Bell curve is a type of an appraisal system in which a team is appraised in terms of leaders and laggards. Leaders means the people who are performing very well in the team, and laggards are the ones who are lagging behind. In between comes the average performers. It's a bell curve. So the bell curve has got a positive intention for which it was introduced, but in many organizations it was misused, and the bell curve became a big major critical point for employees at the time of appraisal. So many companies have realized that bell curve is being misused, and so they have done away with it. It doesn't reflect exactly what the employee is in terms of his core competencies or many other aspects, right? So now they have removed the bell curve, and a new system has come in many, many companies. All the top notches are not using bell curve anymore. Setting up the employee for success, specific competencies for the role. Okay. Now new appraisal system implemented by India Incorporated. So many Indian companies have included these new systems. HCL, for example, has introduced regular feedback and goal setting employees. Goal setting. Employee need to take control of their career. Very simple thing. Google separates annual review and pay discussions. Like I told you earlier, review is on one side and pay is something different. These two are not to be linked. But companies are doing that. That is something, it's a debatable area. We won't discuss it now. Objectives and key results systems. Rated by managers, 5-point scale needs improvement to superb. There's a scale called needs improvement on one side. On a 5-point scale, the one that is superlative is superb, right? 5 different attributes are given. Peer feedback, groups of managers review to prevent bias. If I review you, I don't review you, although you're reporting to me, then the other people also reviewing you. So we get a combination of reviews put together, which will not have a bias, right? Feedback by employees, key considerations. Feedback should be obtained from employees on some of the following areas to make the PMS more robust. What makes you happy? How you want to grow with the company? What you'd really like to work on? How would you envision the future? How you want to contribute to the company's success? Some questions need to be asked. It's more of employee engaging questions. Employee engaging questions, right? Feedback should be obtained from employees on some of the following areas to make the PMS more robust. Some more additional points are given here. What do you need to do your best work? Which new technologies and practices would work better? I'm sorry, the words, the English has not been proper in some places, so just forgive us for that, right? What you want to your boss to stop doing? What isn't working and how to make it better? With this, I end this session. And let me remind you that this session was focusing more on performance appraisal as a part of the larger picture called the PMS. You have done performance appraisal in detail in HR when you did semester one, right? But here, the same performance appraisal here has been discussed, most of it, in the larger picture called the PMS and how it should be seen from a broader context. Okay, friends, thank you very much.